Father, thank you for a song like this that is filled with such rich theology. Jesus, thank you for this reminder that you came to be light. And you came to do that through this amazing love story. And Father, there's someone who's resisting to receive that love story in their life today. And whether they're online or at Lincoln or South County or right here in this room with us, we are praying that today would be their day, that they would surrender and give their life to you. Jesus, please come and do the work that only you can do. Holy Spirit, we need you. And we are relying on you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat this morning. Well, my name is Rick, and I get to be the lead pastor here. And we've got some heavy news to share with you this morning. If you don't know, Joe Porter, which you see pictured right here, he went to be with Jesus on Friday morning at 5 a.m. in the morning. We're going to miss him, or you're going to miss him. You know how often he stood out there to welcome you. So many of you, he would welcome with that warm smile. We're asking that you would pray for his family. His wife, Nancy, you see pictured. Pray. One, let me just say this. What an amazing woman. I've had several conversations with her, and every time, she's always saying, I know God's got this. Every time she says that. She has some amazing kids as well. One of her daughters comes here with their family. That's Robin. Pray for Robin and their family and the grandkids that are involved. Pray for their two sons, Curtis and their family, and also Craig and their family. The calling hours will be Friday, and from 5 to 8 in Robin's funeral home in North Providence, and then the funeral will be right here next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. But you know, there's something about Joe. Joe knew that there was a bigger story at play. He wasn't at all afraid to die. He knew that there was a bigger story because in his life, he lived under this bigger story that was being played out. And today, in our teaching series, we're focused on this idea of stories. And what Joe knew, his story mattered. You see, in this series, we are helping every person understand that you have a story and that your story matters. And you heard Joe, with his own words, tell you how he would use those You Matter cards and walk into the life of hundreds, if not thousands of people, and use that as an opening. He would use that You Mattered, letting them know that they mattered to God, that they mattered to Him, and that they mattered to his church. And then he would share his story about what Jesus had did in his life. And then he would look at them and say, you could have the same thing happen in your life. Joe understood that his story mattered. Do you understand that your story is important? And do you know why your story is important? Your story is important because of what the Apostle John said. The light shines in the darkness. He's talking about Jesus specifically here. He's talking about Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. It doesn't matter how dark our world gets. It doesn't matter how dark it got for Jesus. They tried to extinguish him, and it didn't happen. And what Jesus does, Jesus does the same thing for you and I. He will light a light in you, and darkness cannot overcome it. I want you, everybody should have received one of these candles when you came in. And I want you just to, throughout this teaching this morning, we're going to refer to this little birthday candle. And even in South County and Lincoln, you have one of these candles. I want you just to hold this. Put it near your Bible. I want you to have this because I want you to remember that Jesus is the light in the darkness. And the darkness tried to extinguish it, but it didn't work. And what Jesus wants to do is to come into your life and light your life so that you can be the light in a dark place. And does not matter how dark it gets, no one can extinguish it. You can continue to be light. There's a TV series about two detectives. One of them is played by Matthew McConaughey. And in the closing of season one, in the very closing of this, he's in the hospital. And he's been in the hospital for several days. And as he's in that hospital room, his partner comes up and gets him and wheels him outside so he can smoke a cigarette. So there he is outside. It's dark out. They're looking up at the dark sky. And Rust, who is played by Matthew McConaughey, he says, "I tell you, Marty, I've been up in that room looking out those windows every night here just thinking, it's just one story, the oldest story." His partner says, "What's that?" Light versus dark. Marty looks up in the sky and he sees the vastness, the dark sky, and just little stars peppered throughout that darkness. And he looks at Rust and he says, "It appears to me that the darkness has a lot more territory." And Rust says, "You're looking at it all wrong, the sky thing." His partner says, "How's that?" "Well, once there was only dark. If you ask me, the light is winning." And isn't that true? It's all about how you look at it. You are going to have dark paragraphs in the story of your life. You're going to have dark chapters in the story of your life. But even in that darkness, there is a light that you can shine. There is a light that you can be. Jesus wants your life to light even in that dark time. Even when you don't understand what is next. Even when you are confused and even disturbed. God always offers just enough light for you to see, to make your next move. To make your next turn of the page. He always offers that. And He does not want you to be overcome by darkness. And that's the big idea for today, is that very idea. Instead of being overcome by darkness, consider the light that God is shining. And that's what we're going to see in the life of Joseph and Mary. Here we are in this Advent story. That's the bigger story that's being played out. But there are two characters that we're looking at today, Joseph and Mary. We're going to use two different passages because Matthew focuses in on Joseph, where Mary is focused in on by Luke. And Matthew is an eyewitness of what has happened. So I want you to pay attention to what Matthew is saying, and also just understand that in Joseph and Mary's story right now, when we hear about the birth of Jesus, right, we all think, "Oh, this is so, you know, celebratory and everybody's celebrating." But it was actually a dark time in their life, especially when they first heard the news in the very beginning. This was disturbing. This was upsetting. They had some very hard choices to make to move forward. And yet, we see, and what we will see in the Scripture, is that God gives them just enough light to make the next decision, to take the next step, so that they would not be overcome, so that their light would not be overcome by the darkness. So let's jump in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse number 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to pause there and acknowledge, for some of you, this is exactly why you say, Rick, I just can't buy in to believing the Bible because of stories like this. It sounds too much like a fairy tale story, and they all lived happily ever after, right? You read those and you knew all those were fake. But when you come to while she was still a virgin, Matthew is making sure that he points this out and how important it is in the story. But for you to get over that hurdle, will you just do this? For those of you who really struggle with really believing this part of the Bible, will you at least do this with me? Will you think about somebody that you maybe personally know? Or maybe it's a friend of one of your friends. And you know that they were sick. You know that the doctors all told them that they had this growth, this tumor, this whatever in their body, this disease, and it was in their body. And then all of a sudden, the doctors come back and they say it's gone. They say the disease, the cancer, the tumor, it's just completely gone. There is no explanation for this. Well, stop and think about how sometimes even the doctors would say, this defies medicine, this defies all the laws of science. That is possible. You and I would have to sit there, and if we were honest, we'd have to say, this is possible. So can't we believe that it could be possible that God could work outside of the laws of science and supernaturally implant Mary with that seed of a baby so that when she became pregnant, that she actually could have been a virgin? Isn't it possible? So don't let this keep you from discovering that amazing love story that we just sang about and that is all throughout the scripture. So let's read on. Verse 19, Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Now, some of your translations has he was a righteous man. That's probably more accurate, because when we hear good, we just think, oh, you know, he's a good guy. The good old guy's down there, the good old boy. No, it was more than just a good old guy. This idea that they're trying to get across to us, no, he was a righteous guy, meaning that he followed God, that he loved God, that by faith he was putting his faith in God, and that he was a good Jewish young man, that he was trying to live by the law that God had before him. And in that way, he was this good man or this righteous man. And because of that, he knew he had a decision to make. Because in your engagement period, again, in their culture, understand context, in their culture, when they were betrothed, then he would have to go back and prepare a place for his wife. Does that wording sound familiar? Remember what Jesus said in John 14? I go to prepare a place for you. So here's what Joseph is doing. Joseph is going to prepare a place for his soon-to-be wife. Usually the engagement lasts about a year. Gave him enough time to, if he was adding on to his father's home, then it gave him enough time to be able to do that. Or if they were making their own place, whatever their situation was, he was preparing this place. But he gets news that his wife has become pregnant. And so what he knows, he hasn't slept with her. He knows this didn't happen because of him. And so now this engagement was so serious that it would take an act of a divorce in order to break the engagement. That's how serious they looked at this engagement period or their betrothal period. So now he's considering, you know, I don't want to disgrace Mary. He really loved her. He didn't want to disgrace her family. So he thinks, I'm not going to make a big spectacle out of this, because Mary could have got in a whole lot of trouble in their culture as well. He says, I'm just going to do this quietly. I'm going to break it off quietly. And as he's considering this, as he's like, you talk about a dark chapter. Now, he was just planning his marriage. He was making a room for her. And now all of this is a dark chapter. Are you going through a dark chapter, a dark paragraph in your story right now? Well, notice what Joseph does. Joseph considers this. He's like thinking about this. There's no doubt he's praying about this. He falls asleep with this on his mind. And as he falls asleep, it says, and then an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You see, Matthew is being so clear about the virgin birth. Again, he is making sure that we are capturing the supernatural event that is happening. And then he goes on and he says, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Immediately we see the purpose of Jesus to come, to save his people from their sins. And then the angel says this, and all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. And then what the angel does is starts quoting one of these prophecies that no doubt Joseph was aware of, because he was that good Jewish boy, that good Jewish teenager. He knew this prophecy. In fact, probably was even waiting for this to happen, had no idea it was going to happen. You know, this was going to be a part of his story. But all of a sudden, the dots start getting connected. And the angel quotes this Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah. Look, and again, this is hundreds of years before it ever happened. Look, the angel will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And all of a sudden, the dots are connected, and Joseph is like, this is prophecy that's being fulfilled before my very eyes, and I get to be a part of it. And look what happens. When Joseph woke up, he did what? He did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he went and he took Mary to be his wife. We see immediate obedience. In Joseph's time of darkness, he was considering the light. God, where is your light? Show me the next step. What is the step that you want me to take? And as he considers this, God shows up and gives him just enough light to take the next step. And the next step is go and take her as your wife. And he does it. Is that how you respond in the dark times, when you are disappointed, when you are upset, when hurt has come into your life? Do you still respond with the light that Jesus has given you? I say that we all need to be more like Joseph and respond with immediate obedience. And then we see in the life of Mary the same thing. I mean, you think about her. How upset is her world now? How, you know, here she is. She's back at her house with her family. They're all preparing for her to go live with Joseph in this place that he is preparing. And as that happens, she gets this news that I'm pregnant. And she knows she wasn't sleeping with anybody. She certainly didn't sleep with Joseph. And she certainly didn't sleep with anybody else. And she's like, how in the world can this be? You talk about her world spun upside down. This is Mary. This is a dark place for Mary when she first receives this. And here's how Luke tells us. Luke is a historian. He went and he got all of these first-hand witness accounts and put them together for us. And so here is how he accounts the interaction with the angel and Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. I highlighted Nazareth because I want you to see this. Nazareth was a dark town. Nobody wanted to live in Nazareth. It wasn't like, oh, let's buy some property in Nazareth. You know, whatever city you think of that you or town that you think of, and you think, I would never want to own property there. That's what everybody thought about Nazareth. So much so that, do you remember when Jesus was out and he just was starting out his ministry, that one a disciple who would become one of his followers, his immediate response was, what good could come from Nazareth? That was the cultural view of this place, of this town. It was a dark town. But God does what He always does. He shows up in the dark places and He is light. And He tells a story that darkness cannot overcome, that darkness cannot put out. And He wants to do that in your life. So it does not matter where you came from. You could have come from Modoc, Indiana, and God can still use you because He's put a light in you, and darkness can't extinguish that light. And that's what's going on here. And then Gabriel appeared to her, to Mary, and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." And when you see favor, don't think it was because she was a good Jewish girl, that she was a righteous good Jewish girl. Don't think it was because she had all the boxes checked. Think grace. When you hear favored, think grace. God just showered her with His grace. It wasn't because of something that she did or that she earned this right. It was God's grace that she found favor from God. And Luke is making sure that we understand this. And that's the way grace always works. Grace is never earned. Grace is just given. And it was given to Mary. And confused and disturbed, as she would be, as you would be if you heard this kind of news about what's going on in your life, and she's trying to think about this. And the response of the angel would say this: "Don't be afraid, for you have found favor. You are being showered with the grace of God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be very great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High." And what the angel is doing is just peppering these phrases from the prophecy, again, from the Old Testament. And Mary's taking all of this in, even though she's confused, even though she's greatly disturbed, even though she doesn't understand all of this, she's hearing this prophecy about what was going to happen sometime in the future, but not to me. And as she continues to hear it, "The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." All of these types of phrases right from the prophecy. And Gabriel is looking at Mary saying, you're the one that is going to help that light actually break into this dark world. And her response was, "How in the world can this happen?" Right? That's what she says in verse 34. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this be?" And she says, "I am a virgin." See, Mary's response is like, this can't happen. Because God, you know, I haven't slept with Joseph. I've kept our engagement pure. I haven't slept with anybody else. I have kept myself pure. I am a virgin. Again, this is so important in the story that both authors are making sure that we understand that this is something that supernaturally that is at work, that is at play. A bigger story is going on. The angel replied, "Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." The power of the Most High will overshadow you. It will overshadow your darkness. That's what God does every time if you will look for it. If you'll ask God to give you the eyes to actually see the light in the darkness of the hurt that you are currently experiencing, of the broken relationship that you are currently going through, of one job hunt, one resume after another. Whatever it is, whatever the darkness feels like in your life, it's not meant to overcome you. You have to look for the light that He is shining. And so the baby to be born will be holy, and He will be called the Son of God. This is how He can come and take the sins of the world, because He was a one-of-a-kind baby. I know we all think we have our one-of-a-kind. I had a one-of-a-kind four times, right? Every one of them was a one-of-a-kind. But Jesus really is the one and the only baby that was born, sent from heaven, already existed. In fact, you know the way John doesn't give us this flowery nativity scene that the other gospel writers do. The Apostle John, he put it this way. He's just like, here it is. The Word became human. There's your nativity scene right there, baby. The Word. That's meaning Jesus, He became human and He made His home among us. That's exactly what John is telling us, that Jesus had already existed in heaven, but there became a point in history when He broke through the darkness of history, when the Roman Empire was large and in charge, and it was a dark place for the Jewish people, and He broke right through all that darkness. And He came to be light that no one could extinguish Him. And He made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love. There's that amazing love story that we sang about. He was full of amazing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. You see, John is writing from firsthand experience, from an eye account witness. And as he writes this, he's saying, we have seen the glory of God in Jesus and what He did. But you know when we saw it? We saw the glory of God when the Romans and the Jewish religious leaders nailed Jesus to the cross, and they thought, finally, that is it. We've extinguished the light, right? But what happens? John says on the third day, that what they thought they put out, what they thought they had overcome, it came back. That life came back, and Jesus comes. He comes to give life to you. And the question is this: do you have that light lit in you? You say, well, how do I get the light of Jesus lit in me? John tells us in verse 12 of John chapter 1, he says, but to all who believe in Him, meaning Jesus, to all who will believe in Jesus and accept Him, to all who would believe that Jesus came as the light, and if you would accept that into your life, then He gave you the right to become the children of God. Or He gave you the right where your light can all of a sudden be lit. And now you have the opportunity, wherever you go, to carry that light, even in the dark chapters. Some of you have chapter after chapter after chapter that's being written, and it's dark in your life, and it's been dark for chapter after chapter, but you know what? There's still light there for you. This morning, on your connection card, will you just look at that first next step? It says this, it says, pray for me. I want to believe that Jesus is my Savior, but I'm struggling to actually take this faith step. If you're joining us online this morning, I hope that you will lean into this. If you're right here in this room and you have never allowed Jesus to light the light of your life, if you've never received that eternal life, today could be your day. Today, you could leave, if you're online, you could leave your house, or you, if you're in Lincoln or South County, or you're right here in this room, you could leave this place and be lit by just believing, by receiving, and say, God, come and light the life of my life. You could do that today. We'd love to pray for you. Would you indicate that on the connection card? And as our team gathers this week, we'll definitely be praying for you. If it's easier for you to text, you can text that word trust to our texting number, and when you text that word trust, you're going to get an immediate reply. Just click on the link that's in there, and that's where you give us your name. And we'd love to reach out and have a conversation with you around this and how you can let Jesus light your life, where you could be light. I know many of you, you have the light of Jesus in you. I know that. But you're in a dark place. There's a dark chapter being written in your story right now. And maybe the next step says, it reads, my story seems dark and overwhelming. Pray, I will see the light of God in my situation and trust Him with it. Will you do that? Will you not let your life become overcome by the darkness? Instead of looking up and seeing the vastness of the dark sky, can't you see all the different stars that are shining and say, oh, the light is making progress? God wants to make progress in your life. He's giving you enough light just for the next step. You just got to see it. You've got to ask Him, God, show me. And then you've got to respond like Joseph and Mary. Immediate obedience. Will you respond in that way? The last one is, I will take this candle with me and use it as a reminder that God's light overcomes the darkness. I know it sounds cheesy sometimes when you're like, Rick, you come up with the craziest thing sometimes. I know I do. But you know what? It's these simple little things. Lay this on your dresser or wherever you get up, whenever you get up in the morning, whatever the first thing that you see, put it there. For many of you, it means it's going to go on top of your phone, right? And when you look at it, let it remind you, this little birthday candle, let it remind you of the birth of Jesus into this world to come and be light. And they tried to extinguish it and they couldn't extinguish it. And He wants to light your life on that day so that you can go to school, so that you can go to work, so that you can go shop till you drop, right? But still be a light. Will you hold on to this as a reminder? Jesus wants to be a light in your life. And so, Father, we need this. We need your help. And we want to respond back to you with this song. God, I pray that as we respond back to you and we pose this question, what child is this for the person who needs to have that light lit? Jesus, light their life today, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, let's stand.